everyone, and welcome to Linux for the Rest of Us, episode 210. This is a show about all things Linux, whatever we want to bring up in the way of news, software, or hardware. And by we, of course, I mean myself, Cody Cooper, a.k.a. Supercoop, and my good friend, the door-to-door geek. Some call him the Linux Maven, Stephen McLaughlin. How's it going, Door?
Good, but I'm not going to lie to you, brother. Your brother. Definitely a little bit stressed. This is the year of financial woes as far as the network is concerned. It's just craziness. OLF is, I believe, in less than 13 days from the time we're talking now. And when I don't go to that one, it's going to make three festivals I missed in about 50 days. Which is not good. And two of them, one of them was only 60 miles from me. The other one, I think, is like about 100 miles from me. And I just couldn't afford to go there.
Well, you know as well as I do, we love seeing our fans and our listeners. And it's always good to engage with, you know, friends that we've made in the community. But just think about it this way. As bad of a situation as we may have been in, 90 days ago, 120 days ago, it's getting better. And you get to sort of pick and choose for the conferences you want to go to next year.
Well, and I'm trying to be an optimist about these kind of things. Here's the thing. When I don't make it about me and I make it about Podnuts, like when I get donations to the Podnuts account, I always have to tell myself, this is not someone donating to me. This is someone donating to Podnuts. And the money thing is partially it's a Podnuts problem. So I'm trying to make it turn out to be a good thing. It is encouraging me and letting me become much more competent in how I run Podnuts is the way the logic is going out of this year. I'm going to be running it much better, on a much more stable base, much more future proofing it, and hopefully tightening up the content along the way.
Yeah, it's always good to take a step back and reevaluate anyhow. So, I mean, either you're going to do that consciously or circumstances will force you to do it. But all we can do is keep pumping out good content for free because that's what we've been doing for nearly a decade. We're coming up on an anniversary, folks. There's a little bit of a peek behind the curtain there. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, I'm very optimistic for what we're bringing. I mean, being a fan almost the entire time, you know, we have such a good, diverse catalog of shows right now. This one is, you know, back in motion. I'm very, very happy with the way things are going, and I can only see more positive things in the future.
Oh, yeah. Bigger, brighter things to come.
There you go. And speaking of back up and running, thank you. Several of you sent in emails to us. We actually got so many, we're going to split them up over the next two or three episodes and address the ones that did come in. So thank you for the correspondence in the community. Thank you for still being out there. Thank you for not deleting us from your podcast list, your list of feeds that you do subscribe to. We are back. And to go ahead and address some of those emails, we'll just go ahead and read a few of them right now before we jump into the meat of the show. This one comes from Paul. Hello, Door. I just received my USB sound card from Think Penguin. I'm going to call their tech support tomorrow, and I thought I would ask you a couple of questions before contacting them. In Audacity, I've selected the Think Penguin sound card for both recording and playback, but it still won't record online audio, YouTube, etc. On their support page, it says try deselecting sound card from the BIOS. In my BIOS, I don't see a place where I can do this. I'm using Debian 8.7 on a Dell Inspiron laptop. So,
yeah, I'll first say, Paul, thank you very much for supporting Think Penguin, Chris and Hacker Bob there. Two of the best people who are in business involving Linux that I think I've ever met, period. I'm pretty sure you know where I'm going to go with this answer, don't you, Cody?
Well, let me read part of this again because I'm trying to decipher it. In Audacity, I've selected the Think Penguin sound card for both recording and playback, but still won't record online audio via YouTube.
Okay, so what I got he was trying to do was, or they're trying to do, sorry to assume genders, people.
Yes.
Was to play a sound, play a YouTube video on a computer, and on the same computer, record just the audio.
Yeah, so maybe he's trying to do like a, oh my god, what is it? A reaction video, maybe?
Well, it doesn't have to be a reaction video. He was, they're just trying to record any video.
You mean audio?
I'm sorry. Play a video and record the audio.
Yes. So if, wink, you're trying to simply extract the audio from YouTube with Audacity, you're going about it a little too more complicated than you need to. And if that's what I'm picking up, what you're putting down, I think I know where you're going now, Dor.
Well, I'll say there are other ways to do it. Paul did say in an email down the road that they did try YouTube DL, and it worked, didn't work. There were some content they said it wouldn't work on, and I want to say he said copyrighted content. Whatever. There were some content it didn't work for, and I didn't know YouTube DL wouldn't work for everything on YouTube. So that was something I learned. So it couldn't be that kind of solution. I'm going to read off kind of verbatim what I wrote back because I got to make sure I get the steps down right. If YouTube is playing on the computer and you want to record the YouTube audio in Audacity on that very same computer, I follow these steps. Insert comment here. Analog loophole. No company is ever going to be able to stop the analog loophole as long as we have analog mechanisms. Okay. So what I said was install PAVU control with sudo apt-get install PAVU control. Launch the browser. Go to the YouTube page. Launch Audacity. Hit record now. Yes, hit record now. Launch PAVU control. Go to the recording tab on the top of PAVU control. You should see Audacity listed as an active recording device. On the right-hand side, there should be a drop-down list. Activate that list, and the input source you're looking for should have the word monitoring in it. If you see two of them, you might have to use trial and error. Go to YouTube and start to play the video. Go back to PAVU control, and you should see a horizontal bounce meter showing the sound activity. Finally, go back to Audacity, and you should see the waveform being recorded from YouTube. When the video is done, go ahead and click stop in Audacity, and then hit play, and you should hear the resulting recording. 99.999% of all audio issues I have can either be completely resolved or heavily assisted by using PAVU control. If you need me to, I can create a quick video showing you an example of how I do it. The difference will be in the name of your sound card versus the name of my sound card in PAVU control. So whenever I have, because here's the whole thing, whenever I have a trouble with recording input, where is audio coming into a recording application from? I have never been able to go into that recording application's preferences and say, record from that device. Even if I do, when I reboot the computer or close the application and open it back up, it reverts back, so I got to do it all over again. Instead of controlling the application, telling the application what to listen to, control the operating system and say, this application is right now recording audio. Push this audio to that application. And that's how I've been able to solve a lot of issues, especially with mics and podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of ways. And here's the beautiful thing about this issue, Cody. There's at least 7 ways to resolve this issue. This, to me, was the one that was closest to what Paul was already in the middle of. So that's why I kind of went with that one.
Well, and also by using PAVU control with any, and correct me if I'm wrong, but is that specific to Debian-based systems?
No, it should be available on any Linux distribution with Pulse
Audio, that's right.
Audio.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, PAVU control we've used for, I mean, pretty much since you found it, because you're the one that introduced me to it, to do a lot of audio troubleshooting. Especially when it comes to not only recording devices, but for instance, right now I'm wearing a gaming headset, but I'm only using it as a pair of headphones, and I'm using my normal microphone setup. But if this was a USB connection instead of a 3.5 millimeter, it may automatically activate the mic on my headset to where it would, if I plug it in, if it detected it as a microphone, then I wouldn't be getting the audio from my main mic here and having to troubleshoot that without either going into the sound settings or through PA View Control, which really launches a more comprehensive version of sound settings. For the layman, it might be difficult to figure out what's going on. But going through this a couple times or more, or I should say going through it once, but paying attention, you'll be able to really use this in the future to troubleshoot a lot of different audio issues. Especially, and obviously it'll get more complicated as your setup gets more complicated, as mine and I'm sure Doors is. But it's a wonderful tool to kind of put in your back pocket for anything you're doing, not just recording, but even just doing different audio setups, whether it's diverting the audio from, like, for instance, another reason I use it on the regular is because of my streaming setup that I have set up now, where I don't want the audio to go from the HDMI cable into the monitor. I want it to go to my mixing board to then be recorded on an external device as a backup, including through software and another computer. So some different hops there. But yeah, you kind of get the gist. But yeah, hopefully that works for you. Actually, do you know already, Dor, if Paul has resolved the issue based on your input?
Yeah, here's the reply I got back in short and fashioned. It says, while I've been using Linux for about eight years now, and I've never been able to get Audacity to record on a laptop, it worked like a charm. Here's the gimmick. The whole reason that I do this show in real terms, part of it is so I have a running list of notes that I can always Google search and find what I was talking about, because I like, because half the reason I'm talking about the things I'm talking about is so I have them for future reference. But the dirty secret is, it doesn't matter how long you've been in Linux. It doesn't matter how much time you've spent reading books. It doesn't matter how much time you've watched videos. The number one way I've found to learn anything in computers is to speak to like-minded people. I'm not saying people with the same intelligence. I'm not saying people with the same experiences. I'm not saying people with the same acumen. I'm not saying people who are gray beards, just people with the same likes, dislikes. And what you'll find is there's a billion ways to skin a cat. And for all you know, the guy who might not know as much as you will be able to tell you a super easy way how to fix something. So this is why I encourage people to send in emails to all the shows, not just this show. Communicate with each other as much as possible, because what you'll find out a lot of times is that your workflow that you're using is, you're like missing a step, or you're missing a angle, or you're missing a turn to make it uncommonly more easy. So apparently, off and on for 8 years, Paul's been trying to do this kind of thing, and he was right around the corner from doing what I did about 5 years ago, which was I bought a little tiny USB audio dongle, and I took a 3/8 inch jack, I believe, to 3/8 inch jack, a little like 3-inch cable, and connected it and looped the audio. And technically it worked. Uh-huh. Technically I got distortion, I got static, I got, electromagnetic ground feedback, but I was getting the audio too. So, we all work through our issues different ways, and we all find different solutions. And one of the links I'm going to put in the show is to Klaatu's amazingly fantastic podcast called GNU World Order, and it's GNU World Order 11.7 is the number, and he basically goes through what is PAVU control, why is PAVU control, and how is PAVU control. I'll just say this right now. Few people I know do I consider to be the best of the best in what they do. I'm pretty sure Klaatu is basically one of the best auditory podcast guys I've talked to. So I encourage people, listen to his show, listen to that episode, and trust me, you'll learn much more than I could ever speak about in my whole podcast.
excellent resource. Yeah, and if you've never been exposed to his show before, definitely check it out. Not necessarily. I mean, it's basically technology focused. A lot of open source stuff, but a little bit of something in there for just about anyone. Especially if you're listening to this show. I mean, the fact that you downloaded a podcast and you're listening to it, you know, speaks volumes compared to some people, unfortunately. But
well, that, and if you like coffee, you'll have a lot in common.
That's right. Yeah, definitely. So yeah, check that out. But yeah, especially that episode if you're more interested in PAVU control. Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you for the email, Paul. Right on the next one here, Jack sends in an email. Ubuntu Mate, upgrading from Windows or OS 10. Hi, guys. I was listening to your podcast for the very first time today and was very impressed. Thank you. I'm always amazed at how people find the time to do such great things. During the episode, you mentioned Ubuntu Mate upgrading from Windows or OS 10. Larry Bush's book. Yeah, okay. And suggested it might be possible to get a free copy. You also mentioned that the content would be suitable for anyone 11 upwards, and this really made me think that it would be a perfect way for me to help teach my younger siblings about Linux. I would very much appreciate a free copy if you have any left to give. No worries if not. Thanks again for doing the show, Jack from Ireland. Now, off to listen to the previous 207 episodes. First of all, Jack, you're not going to hear me in all 207 episodes, unfortunately.
First off, Jack, I really hope you were kidding when you said that, because that's a lot. here's something, Cody. You ready?
Okay, here we go.
Podcast Addict.
Uh-huh.
One of my most favorite of all time applications.
And that's fine. People make mistakes every day, but go on.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dog Catcher.
Don't you know?
Life.
No, man. Dog Catcher is now old, falls apart. What I found was I can go into my Podcast Addict, mm-hmm. and I can go into my player and I can look at my stats.
Okay. He just showed me what he's about to read out.
Yeah. Now I remember when I reset my phone or install and uninstall my
this gets reset, right?
It gets completely reset. So let me just make sure that on the video I'm showing the full thing. Okay. It shows basically 230. Let me click here. 231 days worth of content. Listen to it. Yesterday, 17 hours listened to alone. The day before, 15 hours listened to.
Yeah.
This week, 1 day and 8 hours worth. Last week, 3 days and 6 hours worth. September, 9 days. August, 16 days. 15 hours, 2017, 116 days and 3 hours worth of content.
So
total time skipped by automatically skipping silence, which is an option in Podcast Addict. Total time skipped 1 day, 17 hours.
Okay. So just to make this clear, this isn't how many days in a row he's listened to content. This is how much audio content he has consumed since the last time he installed this on his device. Now, Dor, what are you up to right now as far as variable speed feedback and playback? Excuse me.
It's between 3.3 to 3.5.
Upwards of 3.5 times the normal speed that it's spoken.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the last time I got up to like maybe 2.1 or 2.2. So realistically, you've listened to that. The 230 days worth of content at about a third of the time.
Yeah, I can listen. It's three. So yeah, I listen to a hour's worth of content in 20 minutes.
Yes, a third of the time.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's how math works.
About, on average.
All right.
Math, this is live. You can't expect me to do that. Yeah, so the people that worried, because I actually posted a tweet and I said, I don't have a problem, do I? The one guy said, you listened to podcast for 17 hours yesterday? I think you might have a problem. I said, dude, that's like sped up.
Yeah.
It's actually less than that, but it was 17 hours
worth of content in approximately 5.5 hours.
Well, yeah, doing housework and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yep. Hey, not that there's anything wrong with that. Me with my hands up.
Oh, if there is, I don't care.
But, now, but yes.
Here's the real kicker. Yeah. I replied, hello, Jack. You want a book? You got a book. Just send me a shipping address and I'll send you one. I'll cover that expense because he's in Ireland. No reply. So maybe he listened to the 207 episodes and realized this show sucks. I shouldn't have emailed him. Well, I'm out.
Maybe he listened to episode one, realized I wasn't on there, and said, I've been betrayed. I've grown to love this Super Coop guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Coop has forsaken me.
That's right. So, gosh, when did I start? It was a little after episode 100. 105, 110.
It's all blur, man. Like that.
Yeah. I'm over 100 episodes deep now. So, So, Jack, if you're going to go back and revisit that catalog, the back catalog, or for anyone who's just getting the podcast listening, yes, please, whether it's Podcast Addict, which I don't recommend, or Dog Catcher, which I do recommend,
off, why would you not recommend Podcast Addict? I want to hear this justification. Oh, all of a sudden you're quiet. You're never quiet. What the hell is this?
I did try it, but I probably haven't tried Podcast Addict in at least 5 years. But here's the thing. I love the interface of Dogcatcher. It's what I'm used to. And quite frankly, you're contagious when it comes to your cantankerous old man ways. And it's rubbed off on me over the years.
No.
And whenever I hear anybody say, oh, you need to use this podcasting app, I'm like, no, I don't. Oh, no, it has this. I have that in Dogcatcher. I don't need it.
And that's one of the golden rules about podcast players these days, at least. 99.9999% of them have 99.999% the same features. It's mostly aesthetics what separates them, as far as I'm concerned.
Not to get off on a complete rant here, but what was the one that had the really nice GUI? This is probably 4 or 5 years ago, and it did the almost like the circles. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm going to guess you're talking about Pocket
Cast. That's what it was. Yeah. See, I loved having that on my HP touchpad as a panel in my office to play the content off of, because I thought it was a good, tablet touch interface. But anymore, I mean, who really uses a tablet?
Old people.
Yeah. So
I guess.
So are you using your tablet then?
I don't have a tablet. I got a tablet.
No. He doesn't have a tablet.
I have, let me think.
This is going to take a while.
I have a dual boot Android Windows tablet because it's up there by the charger that I never boot. I boot like every 3 months just to see what happens to it.
Just for fun.
I have my Chromebook Flip, which is a tablet-like thing.
Oh, the Asus Flip? Do you still have that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I let my aunt in law borrow it for like 4 months.
Oh, okay.
She enjoyed it for the time she had it, and then I finally forced her to go buy her own damn thing.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. So yeah, to answer your question, Jack, he still has it available, and it wasn't a contest. It was just, if you're interested, he has a book. He would like to give it out to somebody. So.
Oh, and I'll give away more. Just send me an email, people.
Yeah.
And say, can I have a book? Because it's not about me giving it away to you. It ain't even about you guys getting the book. It's about supporting Larry Bushy, who, if you don't support Larry Bushy, what the hell is wrong with you? If you don't support Larry Bushy, don't listen to this show.
Or if you don't know who...
If you don't listen to Going Linux, stop right now. Go listen to Going Linux.
Yes. If you don't know who Larry Bushy is, and you're now have reinvigorated and rededicated yourself to variable speed playback, investigating and experimenting with different kind of podcast players, please go check out Going Linux, the podcast by Larry Bushy. I hope this isn't a sore spot, but does he still do the radio show? I don't think he does he?
Oh,
that was a long time ago. Yeah. So he used to, but anyway, yeah, forget all that. Yeah. Going Linux. And yes. So the use case that Jack is talking about here is using the book to teach his younger siblings about, using Ubuntu Mate and or upgrading from Windows or OS 10. So I think the younger that you get, so for instance, my son right now just recently turned 6, and he is getting used to, all I have on my desktops here are either Linux or Steam OS.
Mac?
Yeah. Oh. No, I don't have Mac. Well, actually, I do have my original iMac sitting up there, but man, I think I killed it. I put some version, God, what was it?
I thought it was vinegar and water.
Some version of Ubuntu on it, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. But I booted it up, and I've never heard fans on a computer go so loud and then pop.
Oh, wow.
So that's probably dead. It's a paperweight. But So in regards to teaching younger siblings about different operating system environments, potentially, yeah, it would be a great book. But I would say that aside from that, the more environments that you expose them to, the more well-rounded they will be. Because even, well, let's just assume that, you know, let's say 6 to 10 years old right now. Okay, you know, a small, you know, a child, preteen. So the more environments they're exposed to, the more well-rounded of a user they're going to be. Because who knows if, you know, like let's say even 5 years, if Chrome OS is still going to be primarily used in educational institutions, you know, via Chromebooks, you know, the benefits that brings to not only the students, you know, with all of that, but also the cheap hardware on behalf of the institutions. Okay, but the fact that they're getting used to just operating within an operating system is going to benefit them, as opposed to, you know, at this house we're this, or at this school we're that, and this is all we're ever going to use, and so on and so forth. Because who knows? Something might be better for them that maybe you can provide for them, but maybe it's not good for you. And ultimately, that's why I landed on Linux, because I wanted more choice. I was, as all of us probably, I grew up with a lot of older Apple hardware, you know, Windows from 95 to about 2002. Then I switched to OS X when I was in college. And then it was around 2007, 2008, somewhere in there. A buddy of mine brought a old ThinkPad to work with Linux Mint, some early version of Linux Mint on it. And I was like, oh, this is fun to tinker with. Oh, there's a lot of settings there. That sounds nice. But yeah, give them the opportunity of choice and a more well-rounded education within software. And I think that they'll be much better for it. So good on you for not only wanting to help them, but also doing it through such a resource where you can help someone else in our wonderful community, such as Larry Bushy.
My two quickies. One, did you have a goatee back when you were in college using a Mac? Just wondering.
No, actually, I have to answer this. Okay. So I was going to school for multimedia production and design. And when you're talking, you know, 2000
Soul Patch
to 2000 to 2004, in there, the software on Windows, I mean, aside from Photoshop, which was still great at the time, you know, you're talking video. I mean, I don't know if any of you have edited video on Adobe Premiere, but it was really, really bad, really, really buggy, even on some higher end machines. And we had this wonderful Mac lab. And so I started using iMovie in the beginning and Final Cut for a lot of my films that I did. And it was just a better experience. And then I'm a sucker for aesthetics, so I really liked the hardware. But the turning point for me switching was really when the iPad was announced, because I saw that and I was just like, I don't know if I like the way this is going. And then that's when I started seeing, you know, all the people with goatees at Starbucks with their Mac laptop. But what were they using it for? Oh, they were just on Safari, you know, checking Gmail, going to Facebook or MySpace at the time, probably. They weren't really utilizing it for the software. And that's when I started thinking, well, I have, you know, experience in, you know, several different operating systems over the years. What's this Linux thing about? That sparked my interest, knowing that I had no fear in it, really. Well, until I installed my first distro and nothing worked almost. But I actually I don't think I've ever had a goatee a day in my life.
Soul Patch?
No. In fact, my God, yeah. I saw someone who used to be in my life is now dating a guy with a soul patch, and I immediately lost respect for her.
Yeah, good man. And here's what I'll say about using multiple OSs. Without a shadow of a doubt, the more experience you have in the more OSs or distributions you experience in, the better off mm-hmm. you understand each one individually. And there's no better way to hate Windows than to use it and then use something else.
Right. Yeah. And I would say, too, for those of you who are looking to either someone like Jack or Assemblies who are looking to dip their toe in Linux, and this is not to discourage you from using Mate whatsoever, but get your find your kind of your center or your comfort space when it comes to a distro. A lot of people will gravitate toward Ubuntu or now derivatives like Mate or the Linux Mint. So find your base, basically get your everyday day-to-day operations on something if you really do like the format, but don't fall within your comfort zone, because you're almost doing yourself a disservice, because you're doing exactly what you did on your previous operating system. You're simply leaving yourself up to what's available within that environment. Start experimenting, start tweaking, because I think that eventually you will find through trials and tribulations, or maybe even, I mean, gosh, it's so easy now, but you will find a workspace that literally works for you much better than anything that you could pick up off of a shelf or pre-install on a computer that you purchased.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, I'll say I had fun in when I was first doing my experimentation in Linux, and I too was like, I had so much of a hard time just getting the Wi-Fi to work. until I found one Wi-Fi adapter that worked, and then I just didn't care anymore. And if the Wi-Fi didn't work, I just plug in the adapter.
Well, I actually installed, I've said this before on the show, but my first Ubuntu, and well, my first Linux installation that I did was on my old white MacBook. And the fact that I got it to boot and to the desktop at the time, this is, you know, almost 10 years ago, I was ecstatic. But then I realized, oh, Wi-Fi doesn't work, so I can't do software updates. I don't really know how to install software. I can't research how to install software because now I don't have a web browser. And I didn't have a smartphone at the time. I was like, okay, I need to take this home. I installed it and booted up 2:30 in the morning, just before my lunch break ended at my old awful graveyard job. But it was one of the best days in regards to my computing experience, simply because I had accomplished just something small.
Right.
Okay. Well, thank you for the email, Jack. I hope that answered your question. And I please touch base with us if you're listening to this, please touch base with us when you do get some of the back catalog. Let us know how it holds up from a listener perspective. And please email Dorback so we can get you that book. That would be great.
Yeah. And if you, the new listener, different listener, would like a copy of Larry Bushy's book, Ubuntu Mate, A Guide for Computer Users Upgrading from Windows or OS X, just drop me an email, podcast@linuxfortherestofus.com. And when I reply and ask you what's your mailing address, just reply again back to me and I'll send it to you.
Yes, that is a necessary step to receive this item. All right, Dor, do you have the next one lined up?
The next one to talk about was actually in our spreadsheet. I actually remarkably got something useful by listening to Floss Weekly, which I'm sorry, I should have warned you before I said that, Cody. I don't want you to fall out of your chair. But I was listening, and I'll make sure there's a link to the notes. 99.9% of the episodes I listen to Floss Weekly, 2 minutes in, 3 minutes in, or something, boom, stop listening. Because either they're talking about a technology I've known about for 6 years, or they're talking about a technology that I literally don't care about because it's never going to impact me, like enterprise server configuration backup tools. I'm never going to use that. The main reason this one caught my attention was because after listening to it, like 30, 40 minutes in, the guy said this could be used for podcasting. And I still haven't had a chance to play with it, but it definitely got me thinking. This is called FriendUp.cloud. The only way I can't even explain this. Okay. What this is trying to be is a internet gateway is the way I'm going to explain it. We used to have back in the day, a couple years ago, internet operating systems where you would go to your web page, you would log in and you would have like a desktop like experience virtually on somebody else's computer, basically. But it was a virtualized environment using JavaScript and this and that and other tech to make it look like a desktop. This is really trying to do a lot more than just that. Not only does this want to be like a desktop-like experience for you, but they also want to be able to basically stream Windows applications from a Windows like computer in your house to this web interface. So hypothetically, you could have Adobe Photoshop loaded on your laptop computer at your house with the computer turned on. You can connect it to this friendup.cloud infrastructure, click the icon on the desktop, and a seamless window will pop up running it in that interface. And audio works, video works, accelerated graphics work and everything else. And they said that this could be used for podcasting where you could literally through here, do a video application kind of thing, a video chat kind of thing, and record the audio in it as well. This is the kind of thing I really can't tell if it's nothing more than a hokey one-off, look what I can do, or if it's actually useful and functional. Supposedly, they already have a bunch of, I believe the term they used was contracts with companies to offer this as a solution inside of companies for something. I don't know. But, I mean, and they have like connectors, if you will, with all kinds of cloud, quote-unquote, services. Sorry, Jonathan, cloud services. Like Google Drive, OneDrive, Dropbox, blah, 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 to where you can have files that look like they're right there on this infrastructure and it, you know, can just work. There's three visual setups you can have when you log into the interface for the first time. There's a Windows-like experience, a Mac-like experience, and then what they call a friend-like experience. I'm just really interested. I like the idea of doing podcasting in it, because nothing would really please me more than to get away from YouTube forever. But if this would, because here's the real kicker, if this would allow me to chat with Cody, hit a button, record his local audio. I don't want the audio on the server recorded. I want it in his local browser to be recorded. And then upon completion, it automatically gets transmitted up to my friendup.cloud interface, infrastructure, whatever. That to me is a good podcasting solution. But if it just records what's on the cloud on the server, I don't want that because that's compressed audio. It's audio that's been compromised. There's some latency involved with it. And then you have connection issues. So if it does that to me, it's one of the tools that I will never use. But if I can actually record other people's local audio, interesting. And Nextcloud looks like they were doing some other kind of built-in WebRTC video chat thing as well. So I really want to get time to try to look at both of them. It's just a question of time.
Yeah, because when it comes to, and I mean, I would say that the way that we have always run this show and like the way the Android App Addicts works now, let me actually ask you a question. With AAA, you guys still record locally and then dump to your server and you edit, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So whereas previously, what Steve C used to do would be to run, correct me if I'm wrong, multiple instances of Skype and then record on separate tracks locally on his computer through Skype. And then that way he's doing the recording where basically it's such a situation to where the person he would interview didn't have to walk them through installing software and then also calibrating everything on their end to make sure that all the levels were okay. He could do it all from his computer, correct?
Yes, and basically, I'll put it like this. Because he was such a better audio engineer, he didn't need as pristine audio to get a better result than I get.
Right.
I'm not as talented as him. I got no problem saying that. So I need cleaner audio to start with, or else it comes out quite, bad.
And that's not to disparage Dora whatsoever. However, whenever I get the chance to do it, especially on the national platform, I will do so just for giggles. But the point I was getting at was, if we had a platform, what Dora's alluding to is, if we have a platform available to us where, like, for instance, if I knew someone that I wanted to interview, let's just say an expert in the field, that maybe wasn't tech-related, or maybe that, for the purposes of this show, maybe, you know, he uses Linux, but maybe he's a newer user, so on and so forth. It would be so much better for me to say, hey, you know what, yeah, we'll start recording at, 3 p.m. on Saturday, maybe show up at 2:45, a little bit early, we'll do some setup, and we'll start recording right at 3, because you need to be done by 3:30, because you're a busy professional. If I could just record, like, through a third-party virtual online service and have the audio be good, then that's one more tool in my arsenal for that specific type of use case. Whereas with the way that we do most of the shows here, it's not necessary, but if that was available to us, and if we could do it with maybe just a 5 to 10% reduction in audio quality, then you have to think about the reduction in production time and how fast your content would be able to be, hit the servers for download, so on and so forth. So yeah, when what's nice is that I think what they may have been alluding to here is that, oh, and this is available to be, think about, well, here's this program, here's this offering, but imagine what you could do with it with podcasting. Would that be fair to say?
Right. Yes. And I'll say there already is a solution that I do use when I record lots of people. We use Mumble for like the Makers podcast. And in one way, the audio comes out better. And that is the leveling of the audio seems to be a little bit, I don't even know what the right word is, but it does seem a little bit better in some ways. But here's the real kicker I almost forgot to mention. The real reason I'm mentioning this is they literally just released like version 1, like a week and a half ago. Uh-huh. Their short-term goal in the very near future is to be able to give people a binary installable package that you could install this on your own box, in your own domain, never even connect to any of their servers, and completely own the hardware and the software stack. Ooh. And have your own virtual liquid software solution is like one of the terms that they use. Really, the only word, honestly, really interesting, really hard to categorize. You can say it's just this or just that or just this, and you're not wrong, but there seems to be more going on, under the covers, if you will. A lot more stuff going on that just really interests me. And supposedly we'll be able to download it all, and that's the real kicker to me. If I can download this thing, put it on a box in my domain that I own, that I control, that I have root on, that I know what's going on, I don't turn into Equifax, my own little personal Equifax kind of thing, then to me this is a good solution. But I don't know.
And then one way to find out, Dor. Now, if you could just crank up your podcast listening to maybe 3.8 or 4.2, you could take that time that you're saving and devote it specifically to learning how to use this friendup.cloud.
Right. Well, right now, we can go get the source code on GitHub. But I believe the version that's available on GitHub, it's slightly older. Right now, it's two months old, I want to say, was they said. I don't know. It looks like they did put up version 1.0. This is the kind of thing where I really do need to take a week off of work. Because it looks like it's easy to clone, easy to install. The only two dependencies are sudo and gcc.
Okay.
Which are very easy to get, I'll say. Really interesting. And here's the real thing. I can listen to developers all day long. I listen to developers today. Salesmen. Today, and it's just so easy to just pick them apart. I mean, like, I'm Muhammad Ali and they're like Helen Keller. I mean, it is nasty. It is really nasty.
Can't you at least update your boxing references and use Mayweather and Rare?
Well, no, because Mayweather is the classic example of what's wrong with boxing. Ali was the epitome of boxing.
Okay, all right. We're not going to go down that rabbit hole.
Okay. It's like Hulk Hogan going against Billy Jack Haynes. I want to hear users. If you out there have any experience with this, or you have time, or you find this fascinating, check it out, and please let me know your feelings on this. Just like Paul earlier, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter how I click through it if I get a chance to try it. It depends on what we can tell each other about how this works and what we can see as a benefit to it. It could be really cool is all I'm going to say. It could be really damn cool. I'm not going to say it's a game-changing thing that's going to evolve our computer usage in the coming years, but it could be a hell of a lot of fun.
Very nice. No, yeah, it looks interesting, and I hadn't been exposed to it until before the show here, and I'm already looking forward to looking into it for my own devices.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if you did answer this, but did you have that third email hooked up somewhere?
After looking at it for about 2 minutes, I figured out we did mention it. It was the user who I sent the long line of commands: sudo apt get up, no, sudo apt update, sudo apt upgrade, sudo apt dist upgrade, sudo apt auto remove, sudo apt auto clean. That is my go-to to ensure a cleaner running computer, I'll say, and a long-lasting.
And it was that in the show notes of that episode?
It was. It might not have been easy to see, I'll say.
Okay.
But it is in the show notes, along with all the notes from the shows and other notes we deem important, like to the Accessible Computing Foundation and to Think Penguin.
Okay, perfect. Sounds good. All right, great. Well, you gonna go back to the dock and look at a couple of these?
I pulled out the one from 2.14.
Okay, yeah, there we go. I see. Okay, great.
Yeah. If another one's catching your bell, just mention it, but I'm okay.
Yeah. I think that we can kind of wrap up here. We hit a good spot. Had a good start. I got to rib you quite a bit.
Who? What?
If it makes you feel any better, I downloaded Podcast Addict while it was for you to talk about some.
You download whatever you want to download. There's nothing wrong with Dogcatcher. I used Dog. Honestly, it was the very first. It was literally, I think, the second application I ever bought on Android.
I'm just kidding. I didn't download Podcast Addict. I'm not going
to. I kind of figured that anyway.
Dogcatcher for life. Yeah.
Why would you want something that works?
I do. But now I'm oddly intrigued about what you're saying about Podcast Addict, but I think I'm too proud to do it. I've reached that point.
99, here's the other thing. Podcatchers are also now the Microsoft Office of applications. We don't even know.
Oh my God, I know.
Half or more of the options in these things. So what I encourage you to do, remembering the Dogcatcher interface, when you're playing a show, go to the full screen version of looking at just that show and try to go to a side menu or a hamburger menu of some sort, and it make sure you examine those options. Because another great option in Podcast Addict is when I find something fantastic in the show, I can rewind back to right where they get ready to start to talk about it. I can pause it. I can go to the hamburger menu and say share position in podcast.
The hamburger menu, you mean the three lines? Like a hamburger stacked up?
Sometimes it's, they call it different stuff. I like burgers, so it's hamburger menu. So you can share out an exact position inside of a file, which I really like, even when I just share notes for myself.
So to take this a step further, and because I know this is on the tip of everyone's tongue who is listening to this riveting conversation, what I'm really looking for, because I hate the way, I shouldn't say I hate, that's a strong word, especially for this stage, with the climate and so on and so forth. But
I think you just offended me.
What about, were you offended or were you triggered? Moving on, I'm looking for. Well, I guess I had a need I didn't know until I thought about it, but now I do. How is Podcast Addict for discovery of new content?
Say no more. Here's what I like about Podcast Addict: when you go into the hamburger menu, they have a entry there called radio stations. The real key is you can go there and then you can do the search, and you can say Podcast Addict search engine, I believe. What you can do is you can literally put in a term like Linux, hit enter, and it will then start a continuous feed of everything it can find with the word Linux in it, starting from, I believe, the most recent thing published going back in time. So you can literally just listen to like insane amounts of stuff with like never-ending flows of content. You can just put in like Android, hit enter, and then there's just a whole bunch of stuff. I can just keep paging down, and it just keeps going and keeps going.
Okay.
It's really cool.
Okay, so I searched for Linux. I see going Linux at the top. That's a mistake, guys. Come on. The Linux Install Podcast, SMLR. Still not seeing my favorite Linux podcast, though. Man, it's got to be way down here.
Well, we do one thing really wrong, which is we don't use spaces, and apparently all these things really hate that.
Yeah, well, we could fix that by that. We, I mean, you could fix that.
Sounds like work.
What?
Sounds like work.
It sounds like if you kick your listening up to 4.7 times speed, you can find enough time to spend 5 minutes to fix it.
Solution found.
If you would like to be able to easily search for Linux for the rest of us, instead of doing the arduous task of copying a RSS feed link and then in one manner and then pasting it into your feed catcher or your podcast player, please send an email to steve@smd.net.
Exactly. He'll answer all your questions quickly.
He'll get right on it. I gotta say, yeah, I like the interface. I don't like that I like the interface, but I like the interface. I'm gonna give it a try. I will maybe I'll crash AAA. God, what episode are you guys on Android App Packs right now? Like 700 something?
480.
481. Ooh, big 500s coming up.
Right. Again, all podcast players now have essentially the same features. It's just a question of aesthetics or color schemes.
You know? Mm-hmm.
What I really wished was they would stop being so self-absorbed, I guess, and come up with a universal backup restore format to where I could back up not only my feed, but my progress in the feed.
Yeah,
and move around. Well, yeah, that's asking a bit much. That's like asking for world peace.
When I used to listen to a lot of podcasts at the house, I wouldn't do it on my device. I had a machine dedicated specific. It was this, it was like an old Athlon of mine. Anyway, I just had that as my podcasting listening computer, which was, you know, above and beyond what I needed to. Anyway, I had G-Potter on there, and I loved it. I did that for like 2 years, and then I think the power supply died or the hard drive or something. But yeah, having access to that kind of control, especially when it comes to what you listen to, and you know, kind of being able to catalog and see, oh, I have gotten, you know, this far through this back catalog of this show, and I've downloaded the episodes. I don't need to constantly worry about it and having, you know, auto download all that stuff. It was great. And that's the Linux application, in case you guys thought we got off track. G-Potter.
Oh, yeah. G-Potter for the win. And before this, I used an AntennaPod, which was essentially G-Potter compatible. So if you had your login, you could use that and sync everything up between your desktop and your mobile.
Yes, I have heard of that. Yes, I haven't used it, but that would be nice.
It would be nice if I needed my podcast synced someplace. But I basically just super glued my phone to my ear, so I'm okay.
Yes, absolutely. All right, Dor. So yeah, if we want to get a hold of you outside of this show, where can we find you on the interwebs?
Well, you go to goinglinux.com, you send them an email to their feedback episode saying how much you like their show and how you thank Door-to-Door Geek for making sure you watch their damn show and listen to their show. Bill is one of the nicest guys I have not had the chance to meet. Larry's in California. I typically don't go to places with higher rates of natural disasters, like earthquakes. So, hi, Larry, from afar.
Well, hold on. How many times have you been to Florida in the last 5 years?
They don't have really. I mean, did you, for 13 years, they had two hurricanes.
Did you hear that, folks? That was me dropping the mic, and it rattled, and it rolled. It's now stopped.
And
rolling.
That was me teleporting it before it hit the ground and having it land on your head. Just saying.
Anyway, I think he just secretly, you see, I know you like Oregon. I know you like Washington.
Oh, yeah.
I think that because we've talked about going to scale before. And
what's his week?
I like to think I'm a pretty persuasive person, but Dor has given up the most resistance to going to, not, I shouldn't say go to scale, but entering in the state of California to the point where I think he might have outstanding warrants.
Well, and I'll say Florida, I love you, Cody. I have no problem admitting I have no control over that. The family wants to go. I have very, 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 very little influence over what actually happens, even though technically I make the most money, blah, 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 blah. It's like majority rule. It's like this is not a tyranny. This is some kind of Republic Democrat thing where I think like they veto me every time.
I think you just butchered a bunch of references, but
oh, I know. I just there's certain type of people out there that I just really settle.
It's late, folks. He needs his sugar. He needs some water. He's looking around.
I can't have any sugar.
Oh, that's
I'm diabetic.
Right. Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, I don't mean this in a derogatory way whatsoever, but it does look like you're slimming down quite a bit.
I have no choice. No sugars, no carbs.
Well, I think the weight that you're losing, I found. Oh, my God. So today, I should probably say this for the after show. Yeah, this is not in any way relevant to the show whatsoever. So, yeah, go to Going Linux. You can find me online at Cody Cooper at Twitter, plus Cody Cooper on G+, or send me an email to Cody@podnuts.com. Jeez. If you want to send an email to the show, please send it to podcast@linuxfortherestofus.com. This week...
Voicemail?
Oh, yeah, yeah, voicemail. It is... Oh, gosh.
I knew I caught you off guard. Sorry.
Voicemail. I don't remember the voicemail number. I have so much... I had to... So, my phone died the other day, and I had to call 17 locations for my 9-to-5, and I didn't have internet access where I was, so I had to remember, because I've run, 10 or 11 of these stores, I had to hunt and peck and remember the phone numbers by memory, so I've had so many numbers cycling through my head the last week, I just can't remember the voice. So, if you really want to leave us a voicemail, check the show notes, it'll be in there, or you can listen to the last 3 minutes of any other episode of the show for the last 3 or 4 years, and the phone number will be there. But I will have it ready next time. I'm gonna put it on not a post-it note. I'll get it laminated and hang it.
You're gonna pin it?
What?
Are you gonna put a pin in it?
I'm totally gonna put a pin in it. I'm gonna star it. I'm gonna give it a thumbs up, and I'm gonna ask everyone to subscribe and like it. But before this goes thoroughly off the rails, I think I'm just gonna end this episode and put it out that door. I don't care. But please don't forget, folks, that Linux is not just for the rest of us. It is for all of us. Goodbye.